Please take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 18. And we'll begin our reading at verse 28. Psalm 18, beginning at verse 28. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee have I run through a troop. By my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength, that maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet. He setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken in mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. May the Lord bless in the reading of his word. You may be seated. Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of 2 Peter. It has been said that we spend the first third of our lives preparing for the other two-thirds. Growing up, getting educated, training, all to prepare us for life in what we're told is the real world. We continue, and we need to continue in varying degrees to grow. We continue to educate and train ourselves for the rest of our lives. The best and the brightest are folks that have spent their lives honing their knowledge and their craft. When I became a Christian, and maybe you were the same way, that there were certain people as you got into church, as you were taught and discipled, as you got to know other believers, there were certain people that you admired. I thought, boy, I look forward to the day where I could be like so-and-so. I wish I had the Bible knowledge of so-and-so. I wish I could pray like so-and-so. I wish I had the boldness to do things like so-and-so does. And sometimes we were impatient. We wanted that immediately. And there's other things that we recognize that we had to grow into. And there's, frankly, a lot of things we thought, I could never do that. God equips us from the instant of this new birth for all that I need. I have it the instant that I am born again. Now, I need to grow in knowledge. I need to grow in experience. It isn't like all of a sudden I bypassed all the prerequisites and so on. But from the beginning, I have the power necessary. The power to live as I ought is given to me from the beginning. I dare say that most believers, frankly, are oblivious to this. Young believers are often enthusiastic and they are bold and they accept this and just run with it without even realizing they've got it. But they've got it and they run with it. They're not intimidated by things, they're excited. There have been innumerable books and sermons and on and on and on saying that we need something more. And they will proceed to add to what God has said. Oh, by the way, you need to have this. You'll never really be the Christian you need to be unless you get this too. That there's something more that you need. And sometimes you say, boy, there's got to be some trick to this. I mean, I read my Bible and I pray and I strive to do the things that God would have me to do, but there's got to be some hidden secret. There's got to be some mysterious something out there that I just haven't gotten yet, because otherwise I'd be like so-and-so. Or this person over here has got to have something that I don't have because I just don't seem to have what they have. Now, part of it is giftedness. Part of it is that we're not all going to be like this person. We're not all going to be like that person. You may admire them, but we are not by God's design all to be like this person or this person or this person. God has gifted different ones of us to do, some of the most mundane things that are perceived to be mundane are things that I can't do, or at least I really, really struggle to do. My wife will tell you that I'm a guy who I'm good at this and I'm good at this and I'm good at this, but don't ask me to do anything else. And I dare say a lot of us are the same way. The guy who is good at everything usually isn't. Not really. And God has gifted us not with gifts to do everything, but with gifts to do certain things. And so we need to recognize that. But God has given us all the power to live a life that would honor and glorify Him. I don't need extra things. You know, whole movements and denominations have been built on the false premise that I need something mysterious extra that's out there. I need something secret. There's some spiritual secret that there's something lacking. Then if I get it, then and only then will I really be what I need to be for Christ. And I want you to know that that's a lie. That's a lie. There's a lot of people that push that agenda, but it's not true. It's not biblical. You have, from the get-go, all the spiritual equipment you need to live a life of godliness. You need to grow in knowledge. You need to grow in experience and wisdom and so forth. But as far as the power is concerned, you've got all you need. You have it at the instant of your salvation. It is, here's a great illustration of this. It is sometimes amazing what young believers, people who've been saved for maybe weeks, what they are able to accomplish by the power of God. Their shortcomings are knowledge and experience, but they've got power because they don't hesitate, they don't question, they just launch and go. All who are in Christ really have this. The only limitation is our submission to that power, being filled with the Holy Spirit, and we'll get into that in just a moment. But the power is there. You have, from the get-go, spiritually, all the power you need to live life the way you're supposed to live. And he says so right here. So let's look at our text. We dealt with the introduction, the greeting and so on, which deals with grace and peace there in verse 2, which was a Christian take on the standard first century greeting. It was turned to it to Christian meaning, dealing with grace and peace, that we are saved by grace and therefore have peace with God. And then he says in verse 3, and our whole focus is going to be on verse 3 today, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things, underline that word all, has given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. His divine power. Now who's the his? All right, go back to verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And we mentioned last time that God and Savior Jesus Christ are both referring to the same person. So Jesus is the God who is our Savior, is what that verse is saying. He is God our Savior. Jesus, our Savior, is God. And His power is in us. When we deal with power, there's two different words that are often translated power, and one of them is dealing with the idea of authority. But this one is dealing with the actual power, the muscle behind things, the ability to do something, strength, ability. And when we deal with strength and ability, I'm getting there. I am reaching the age where there's certain things that I used to do that I can't anymore. I'm getting to the point where, yes, I remember being able to do this. I can't do this anymore. I can still do a lot of things. I tell people, I can still do everything I could when I was 30, but the recovery time is just a lot longer. Basically, that's true. But there's a lot of things that we find that we have limitations on. We deal with the idea of pacing ourselves and so forth. I know the limits of my strength. I know the limits of my endurance. I think I've used the illustration that if I'm going on a hike, and I know that Jeff is the master hiker over here, but if I were to look at the thing that he's planning on doing, I would say, no. I know that I can do this. I've gone on a couple of hikes that says, I know I can get there. Will I be able to get back? That's the question. I'm a big guy, I don't want somebody having to go in there and pack me out. When it comes to living the Christian life, though, we don't have to look at things that way. Do I have the strength to do this? Do I have to pace myself to be able to, because we're not talking about physical things, really. Do I have the spiritual strength to do thus and such? And I'm going to tell you that if God has told us to do it, if it is something that we are supposed to do, then you have the strength to do it. Because it's not my strength. It's not your strength. It is His power. Now, what limitations are there to the power of God? I read it this morning. Genesis chapter 1. In 6 days, God made all that is, including the raw material, the energy, everything that is physical, tangible, everything that's there, He made it in 6 days. And when it says He rested, it doesn't mean that He was worn out. It means that He stopped. If something comes to a rest, that means it stopped moving. All right, that's the idea there. God was not worn out. God just stopped creating. We are dealing with a God whose power is beyond our comprehension. We look at the things around us and we look at the beauty of this world and we miss so much as far as God's creation. We don't think beyond what, because at night, on rare occasions here in Washington, you can look up in the night sky and you can see stars. And those little twinkling lights are vastly larger than our planet. A great many of them are vastly larger than our sun. And almost as an afterthought, it says in the creation account, He made the stars also. In one day, He made all the stars also. We get an idea of the power of God. And God has given me power. It's His power. It's not my power. It's His power working through me. All right, I'm going to say it. We may get to this again. We don't do things for God. We do things
with God.
All right, so it is God working through me to accomplish His purpose. I don't have to worry if I've got the spiritual strength to do it because I have an unlimited resource in me that is God's. And it's given unto us. That word there is, how do I describe this? It's a superlative kind of thing. God has really given this to you. It's a great gift. God's given this to you. He has gifted us this thing. Salvation is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But there's a lot of things that come with salvation. I think so often we think of salvation as, oh, I get to go to heaven instead of going to hell. That's salvation. Yes, but that's only one small facet of what we get. Okay. I'll forget a bunch of things, and I'm not doing this for the sake of making sure that it's an exhaustive list. I get forgiveness. I get adoption. I am sealed, indwelt, and empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. I have a place reserved in heaven for me. I have the promise that I will receive a glorified body that will be free forever from pain and exhaustion, and most of all, from sin. I will be freed from the very presence of sin in me. I will be with my Savior forever and ever and ever. I have an inheritance awaiting me that will last forever and ever. All these things are different components of what God has gifted to me. It's not something I earn. It's not something I deserve. It's something that God has given me. I have portions of it already. I will receive more based on His promise. Not on my performance, but on His promise. He has given to me all these things. And the word there is a perfect passive, which means basically that I have permanent access to this. It doesn't go away. It isn't something that I have and might go away. It's something that I have and I have permanently and it will never go away. By the way, which is another assurance that our salvation is a permanent thing. We can't lose it. The very notion that we can lose our salvation means that somehow or another I'm saved by grace and kept by my own efforts. And that's totally contrary to the whole aspect, the whole idea of how we got it in the first place and how we're kept. I am kept, it says in 1 Peter, by the power of God. So I have this power. It's not my own power. It is God working through me. And this is part of, there's other facets of this as well. This is part of the reason why we are utterly and completely dependent on God. See, one of the struggles that a great many Christians have, and it isn't just new Christians. There's certain things that people say for decades, and there are certain lessons, basic lessons that they never learned. Okay, we did the whole thing with, we don't do things for God, we do things with God. The reason I hammer on that is because, and some of you may recite that and you still don't get it. Because it's a lesson that we need to learn because it's what this passage is teaching. That my power is not in me. I don't need to simply discipline myself enough to make myself read my Bible. I don't just discipline myself enough to make myself go to church. I don't just simply discipline myself enough so that I can make myself pray. That I'm forcing myself to do these certain things in my daily or weekly regimen. Now, I won't say that that's not a component of it. But the fact of the matter is that if I am going to do things, because also motive is part of it too. If I'm doing it just because I'll feel real guilty if I don't, then my whole thinking about this is wrong. I serve God because I love God. I serve God because I am living a life of gratitude. I serve God because the scripture says we love Him because He first loved us. It is the response to what He has done to us and for us. It is not the idea of fear of retribution that somehow or another, if I step out of line, God's up there with a heavenly baseball bat and He's going to whack me one. And if I do it again, He's going to hit me twice as hard the second time. And there are some churches that emphasize that kind of thing. And I'm telling you, they got it all backwards. We don't fear God because we're terrified of Him. We serve God because we love Him. And our motive will be right, and our passion will be right. And I remember the comedy skit of a fellow of the henpecked husband. And finally, he's going to talk back to her, and he goes, and he does this, and he starts doing this, and then he goes like this. He's afraid of her. He's afraid of her. I don't want to be with my wife. She scares me. She's mean. She does nasty things to me. She's not kind. She's very demanding. And so we have a strained relationship because it's just the way she is. Some of us have a perspective of God like that. That God is mean and He expects a lot of us and He's always browbeating us and He's always hurting us and He's always, that isn't God. That is a skewed perception. God loves us. He seeks what is best for us. Sometimes that's trial, sometimes that's discipline. Ultimately, it is in our best interest. We love Him because He first loved us. We serve Him because He loved us. And He has empowered us to serve him. Our desire needs to be for him. I am utterly and completely dependent on him. I am dependent on him for my salvation. I am dependent on him to live the way I'm supposed to live. Again, this backward notion that God saves me and then I have to work real hard to please him for the rest of my days is not how it works. I am saved by grace, I live by grace, I am kept by his grace, and God empowers me to live and be the way I'm supposed to. I am dependent on him all the way across the board. And it says that he has given us these things. He's gifted us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He has given us all that is necessary. We are not lacking anything. I don't need a second blessing. Spiritually, I am perfectly equipped by God to serve God. This is not a promise of physical things. Health and wealth gospel is not biblical. Read the book of Job. Okay? Physical things are things that God tells us to pray for. Give us this day our daily bread. Praying for basic needs is scriptural. He has told us to do so. But as far as spiritual things is concerned, we are deficient in nothing. I don't need to be spiritually what I'm supposed to be. I don't spiritually need anything else. I don't need a second blessing. I don't need some sort of a second spirit baptism. Baptism of the Spirit is one of those things also that happens at the instant of our salvation. I am placed into the body of Christ. That is biblically spirit baptism. Don't let somebody tell you otherwise, because it's not biblical to take it another way. And therefore, you also need to speak in tongues. Where in the scripture does it say that everybody needs to speak in tongues? That you need some sort of a special filling, that second blessing. I heard a whole sermon preached on fresh oil. Bunch of nonsense. There are loads and loads of, like I said, whole books. Books, denominations, conferences, all kinds of things focus on this stuff, and it's a bunch of rubbish. That somehow or another I find some sort of a secret thing that will make me a super Christian. What God wants is your devotion and your submission. And if you give him those things, you got access to the power. There are no upgrades are necessary. No upgrades are necessary. You have from the get-go all you need. I just need to yield myself to what is. Spirit filling is emptying myself of myself. Spirit filling is displacing my self-will. Yielding myself to that existing power. When Paul says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth, and we often have a tendency to quote that when we're going through a hardship or difficulty. And Paul deals with some hard times in the context of that, but the main idea is that anything that God would have me to do, anything that I'm supposed to do, anything that God commands me to do, I can do. Because I've been empowered to do that. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. He is my power. And if I say I can't, then we've got two things wrong. Number one, I'm filled with self and not filled with him. Actually, three things wrong. Number two, I'm calling God a liar. Because God says I can and I say I can't. And then number three, I'm doing what the problem is in the first place. I'm resting in my own strength to do God's work. you know, the unbeliever, the person who's never trusted Christ as Savior, and they're trying to earn their way to heaven. And we cited, was it Romans 3:20? Therefore, by the deeds of the law should no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. The harder I try to do the do's and not do the don'ts that the Bible talks about, the more glaring becomes my failure and the more evident it is that I can't do it. And we look at our pre-salvation days and the glaring failures and the wickedness of our lives. And for me to try to serve God using that same source of strength, I am doomed to failure. It didn't work before. What makes it going to do any difference after I'm saved? If I'm relying on the same source of strength after my salvation as I was before, I haven't changed anything other than the fact that I now have a new relationship. But my reliance is the same. Instead, my reliance needs to be on that new power that I already have, that God has given me a superabundance of. And I just need to submit to that. And so he says, according as his divine power hath given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. I have everything I need to live the life the way I'm supposed to live it and to be godly. I have all the equipment necessary for that. I have a new life in Christ. I'm a new creation. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. I am not what I was. If you came to know Christ, especially if when you were in your teen years or older, there should be a major transformation in your life. That you you become a vastly different person than you were before. God has transformed you, and he is transforming you. It's happening now. It's by the power of God. I have been supplied for all that is needed to live a life for, with, and in Christ. I've got all that's necessary, power-wise. And it's for this life, the here and now. See, I'm in a wrestling match. I'm in a wrestling match. You are too. If you know Christ as Savior, you're in a wrestling match. You are dealing with the fact that you are a regenerate soul. You have a new nature. You're indwelt, empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. And I still have this old body. And I still have a sin nature. Now, I'll get a new body. And when I step out of this body, I am free from the presence of sin in me. But in the meantime, I have a body that is filled with, that's still unregenerate. This body hasn't been glorified. God saved my soul. He didn't save my body. That's when I get glorified. And so I deal with this wrestling match. I deal with the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. That's part of this, especially the lust of the flesh. And so I deal with this wrestling match. I can have power over sin in my life. Because I have the power that's given to me for all things that pertain to this life. How I live, my personal life, the things I think, the things I do, the things I say, my interaction with other people. I'm going to bungle it every time. But I can have power over sin in my life. I can have power, access to the power, to do and be what I'm supposed to do and be. God has said so. So don't say I can't. Because you can, if you know Christ. And then, he says, all things that pertain unto life and godliness. As a new believer, the whole concept of being godly was kind of like this very far off goal that someday before I die, I might get there. I can be godly from the instant of my salvation. I'm empowered that way. I can do all God tells me to do. You know, we deal with the basics of the Christian faith. Okay, hold out your hand. We got five basics. I know you're going to come up with something afterwards. Somebody's going to say, oh, you forgot such a... Five basics of the Christian life. All right? We read and study the Scripture. We pray. We fellowship with one another, attending church. We give of ourselves, give of our resources. We evangelize. We tell other people about Christ. Those are the five basics. Basic, almost everything else fits within those categories. I am equipped and empowered so that I can do all of those things. And I can do things because some of those things are things that I don't think I can do. Sometimes it's outside my experience. I'm just not good talking to people. I just don't like doing that. I just don't like doing that. It's outside my perceived aptitude. I just don't have a gift or a knack for that kind of thing. It's out, and what it really amounts to is it's outside my comfort zone. If God has told us to do it, don't compare yourself to other people. I have known people that had amazing gifts in doing certain things that I mentioned here. I think I shared this, I can't remember when this was. Sometime in this past week, I was talking about a young man that he would see somebody. Oh, I need to go talk to that person. Have you met him before? No, this is the first time I've ever seen him, but I need to go talk to this person. And he go talk to this person, and within 10 or 15 minutes, they're sitting down going into this deep spiritual conversation, and he leads them to Christ. And he would do that several times a week, leading complete strangers to Christ. Boy, this guy must have had years of experience. No, the guy was 21 years old. He had a great skill in doing this. Boy, I wish I had that. Yes, I don't have that man's skill. I don't have that man's gift. But I still have the same command. I need to do it. I need to do it. I need to share the gospel with other people. Am I comfortable doing it? No, I'm not. But I need to do it. And God empowers me and equips me to do it. There are several people, maybe a lot more than that, in different churches all around the country that are there because I shared the gospel with them and they put their trust in Christ. And sometimes, most of the time, it's not the person you think that's going to get saved. You and I are thinking about the same person.
Yes, we are.
Susan, your husband was one of the most ornery, cantankerous guys I ever shared the gospel with. And you shared the gospel with him for decades, and he was ornery and cantankerous, wasn't he? Yeah. Yep. Harold was ornery. He would do things just because he was told not to do it. And he knew the gospel backwards and forwards. And when he got into his 70s, he became diabetic. And he says, well, I'm not going to listen to that doctor. And he'd go over to the diner and he'd eat 4 or 5 pieces of pie back to back and then try to walk home and pass out on the sidewalk. And he ended up in the hospital, what, 3 times with that?
4 times.
Why was he doing it? No one's going to tell me I can't have pie. Don't tell me I need your Jesus either. That was his attitude. I'd go up and see him in the hospital. Hey, they won't let me out of here. I said, Harold, one of these days you're going to drop dead and you don't know Christ as your Savior. I don't want to be in this hospital. Harold, let me share the gospel with you. I'm going to go over it real quick. You've heard it before, so I went over the gospel. Harold, I'm going to bow my head and I'm going to pray. And after I'm done praying, if you want to trust Christ as your Savior, you pray too. And I bowed my head and he trusted Christ before I had a word in. And I did this. While he's praying and asking Jesus to save him from his sins.
While he was in a nursing home, he had to have a bell.
But I'm telling you, it's not always the people you expect. Oh, I'm working on this guy. He's so close. It's going to be this fellow over here that's been eavesdropping, that's been the guy who's complaining about it, that's going to end up trusting Christ. So don't think it's my skill, it's my ability, it's my salesmanship. No, it's the convicting work of the Holy Spirit. He does amazing things. And I'm also going to tell you that you can endure hardship. You can endure difficulties. We are watching the world go crazy. And if you like history like I do, you'll read about people who lived back in the 20s and 30s, and they said the world is going crazy. I will let you know, the world is always at least a little crazy. And God's children that live in different parts of the world, sometimes in this part of the world, go through hardship and difficulty. They experience poverty. They deal with health issues. And in a lot of places around the world, they're going through some severe persecution. I mean, we may deal with some hostility. We may deal with the loss of friends, the alienation of family. But we, for the most part, don't have to deal with the loss of property and possessions and deal with physical harm. But I will tell you this, that God gives us grace to be able to endure all these things. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, even if it's hardship and difficulty. I can also respond, and by the way, this is often harder. And history and biography will bear me out on this. I can respond properly to blessings. If you want to see somebody have their life totally destroyed, let them win the lottery. A proper response to blessings is often very hard to do. We will lose our thankfulness. We will lose our dependence, our sense of dependence on God. Wealth is very often a stumbling block. But I can actively, regardless of the circumstances in my life, live a life that reflects Christ in me. One of the commentators said, it is not by godliness that we obtain life, but by life we obtain godliness. We don't strive to be godly to gain life. Life is received by faith, and then God makes us godly. He equips us after he has saved us. Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Again, we don't do things for God, we do things with God. And so he says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. I have to know him to have this power. It isn't by attending church, baptism, confirmation, or anything else, turning over a new leaf. I have to know him. I have to have a personal knowledge of God. I have to have a salvation relationship with him. Salvation is a relationship. We're dealing with a person, not a concept. I have to trust in my Savior, a person. And it's the only prerequisite to gain the power. I have to have salvation, and then God gives me the power. It's not what you do, it's who you know. And everything that we've talked about here this morning, if you do not know Christ as your Savior, everything we've talked about is meaningless. It is outside your experience. It's outside your ability to have. Because first you have to trust Christ as your Savior. All these things that I've been talking about are yours if you trust Christ. And if you don't trust Christ, you can't have them. It's an all or nothing proposal. I know him, and therefore he has given to me life and all things necessary to live for him in the here and now. But I have to know him. And it's by His glory. We don't live for self, we live for Him. It is by His virtue, which some of you have a different translation there. It's the idea of God's goodness or His excellence. Who He is willing, who He is that willingly gives us all these things. God is gracious and merciful, and it is by His goodness and excellence that He gives us all these things. And so He has equipped us for all that He has called us to do. I can live a godly life. I can live a life that brings honor to the Savior. The question is, do I believe it? And will I submit to it? Because if you're stumbling and struggling in your Christian life, odds are you're tapping into the wrong source of power. Are you trusting Christ not only as your Savior, but are you relying on His power? Our Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for all that You have given us. You have given us all things necessary. That doesn't leave room for anything. You've given us everything. And so, Father, I pray that if, first of all, if there's somebody here today that has never trusted Christ as their Savior, that they don't have this in the first place, Father, that today might be the day of salvation. They might put their trust in the Savior, that they might become Your children, that they might have everlasting life. And, Father, for those who are Your children, may we recognize the fact that You have equipped us with all that is necessary. And, Father, may we rely on that, that You are our all, and You have given us all. Father, accomplish this in our lives, we pray for Christ's sake. Amen.